EFM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Coming down the home stretch of our Friday show, Gus off on a well-deserved vacation in studio for him, along with Renee Nato of CrescentCitySports.com and CBS Radio. I'm Mark Shafisi. The numbers to get into the game, 800-998-1003. That's 800-998-1003. For the next 30 minutes or so, talking LSU sports with Mike Scarborough of TigerBait.com. And if there's a site or an organization that covers LSU better than TigerBait.com, I don't know who it is. Mike Scarborough and Brian Lazar do a great job. So, great information. Go to TigerBait.com. And, hey, Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Mike, Scott Woodward, the new AD, what is his agenda this first year on the job?
You know, I think he's, you know, probably getting a good lay of the land. You know, look, we've done several features on Woodward. We did one with Virg Osberry that was real popular on the site this week where he talks about working with Scott Woodward. You know, and I think one of the things that they're wanting to get across is those two guys being the top two guys in the athletics department is that there's a lot of great stuff that was already going on at LSU, and that's something that Woodward has talked about. I just think that, you know, where he's going to push for is tweaking some things, getting some facilities a little bit better, listening to the coaches that he's got there. I think he's going to be much more hands-on than Aliba was. I think you had a lot of coaches in the athletics department that probably didn't know where they stood with Joe Aliba. And I think that Woodward is more of a people guy. So I know there was a lot of people that thought he was going to come in and clean house and, you know, maybe the compliance department at LSU might get shook up. And so far, none of that has materialized. It's going to be interesting to see what they do get done in the coming year. I mean, obviously now you've got alcohol approved by the SEC. Going to see how that gets implemented at LSU and if there's any growing pains with that. Everybody wants to see how he handles Nikki Fargus and the LSU women's basketball program and what does she have to do next season. I know a lot of people are upset this week about baseball. You know, the fans have a good portion of the fan base has a different take than a lot of the media guys who cover the LSU beat. A lot of our fans on our message board think the beat writers are all making excuses for Maneri.
Mike, Renee, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for joining us. Mike, it's always great to be with you. I want to ask you something that's in your wheelhouse that you know better than anybody. They've had some great visits with the recruits the last few weeks, Mike, and I'd like you to kind of share with the audience a little bit, what's the realistic possibility Paris Johnson comes in, and from what we have heard overall, I know you've heard it as well, that the Ohio State people are most concerned about LSU. They've made some inroads with him. Kendall Milton is on campus a couple of weeks ago, and Zachary Evans named LSU among his top four or five schools. You know, Ed Orgeron's doing such a great job coast to coast, Mike. Are those guys, are they realistic shots now? I mean, he has really, really reached out coast to coast.
You know, look, it is unbelievable, the job that Coach Orgeron, his staff, the support people in the recruiting office, what they've done this spring is absolutely phenomenal. You bring up Paris Johnson, the five-star offensive lineman from Ohio, committed to Ohio State. I think the general feeling was after he left LSU on his visit that it was neck and neck between LSU and Ohio State. I tend to think that if you think you're going to get a kid to flip from Ohio that's committed to Ohio State, you probably needed to feel like the kid was telling you, you know, look, I'm coming. I just got to, you know, get home and play my cards right. And, you know, you thinking maybe it's 60-40 or 70-30 rather than 50-50. I think that's an uphill battle. I will tell you, though, I'm not a big fan of negative recruiting, But look, LSU got negative recruited very hard when Greg Studrawa was the offensive line coach at LSU. They lost offensive linemen because they were able to point to the fact that that was one of the positions on LSU's in the LSU program that it was not producing NFL offensive linemen during Studrawa's tenure at LSU. Barstell, who came to LSU as a defensive lineman, was for a while there the only offensive lineman on an NFL roster during the Les Miles era. So I'm not saying you negative recruit against Studrawa, but I think maybe that's something that can work in LSU's favor. And certainly Urban Meyer is no longer the head coach there, so LSU's already had success in Ohio and recruiting the East Coast very heavily. On one hand, a lot of the Coach Craig is under the microscope because everybody's focused on the offensive line position. It's such a huge position of need in this class. But I also feel sorry for him because the state is not helping him out any. It's not like you say, I need four offensive tackles, and you've got three in state that you've offered. There's no offensive tackles in Louisiana. You look at the class of 21 next year, I don't see any next year either. Cedric Van Prant at Warren Easton is the one offensive lineman in Louisiana who has an offer from LSU, and he's a center. So he can also play guard. But, you know, the entire roster at LSU offensive line roster is nothing but guards. There's not a true tackle on the roster.
So does that sends the Tigers where they need to go, Texas, Florida, wherever.
Yeah, wherever they are. And look, they're spending the money. I mean, look, you've got to give Orgeron and them a lot of credit. They've had 22 with several this weekend. You got the Lindbergh kid from Texas in for an official visit, offensive lineman. Been considered a heavy, heavy Texas lean for a while. But, you're talking about another high-profile tackle that you've gotten in for an official visit, and that's half the battle. So you never know what can happen. Maybe go and you go to Austin week two and lay the wood to the Longhorns, and it makes things easier for you at the end. But they've got to have a solid group of four offensive linemen, preferably three of the four being true guys that you can actually say definitively are tackles. Not that, yeah, they're a tackle, but we're not 100% sure, might end up being a guard. That's where LSU's been for years now. You've got a lot of guards having to play tackle, and it's not their natural position.
On the line is Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. To talk to LSU Sports, dial 800-998-1003. That's 800-998-1003. Mike, do the coaches not like this new signing date that we've had the past few years? To me, if you were going to have the earliest signing date, if you're going to have an early signing date, I would do it before the football season. You know, I don't know, at the end of July, something like that. That way, you're not interrupting bowl preparations and things like that.
You know, you wonder if that might be the next step. You got to believe it's come up. Or, I mean, you're looking at LSU now with, 18 commitments, waiting on Marco Domeo to fall, the cornerback from Blinn Junior College, who had a great visit last weekend. But yeah, I'm sure they would love to have like an August 1st or a July 31st signing day, and you could wrap up, whatever number you've got at that point and not have to babysit and worry about them. But I guess the argument would be that, hey, those kids sign with you then, you'd almost have to give them an out if there's a coaching change. You could have a guy who's not in a Lindy's or an Athlon's right now is being on the hot seat, and then all of a sudden, they win two conference games and he's shown the door. And then a kid's sitting there with a signed national letter of intent and can't get out of it. But it's amazing how sped up the recruiting calendar has been with the early signing period. You give an early one right before Christmas, and now you've got, I mean, and for all practical purposes, yeah, there's some kids that we're going to be talking about over and over again. But in reality, I mean, for LSU in particular, the offensive line obviously is a position of worry. I think Marcus Dumerville will be a part of this class. His teammate Martinez is already a commitment. But who are going to be the other two offensive linemen in the class? So other than that spot, though, when you start filling in Jacoby and Guillory, Jaquel and Roy, maybe another outside linebacker, Renee brought up, you know, Kendall Milton at running back, or Zach Evans, or Rashad Clayton at Warren Easton as a possibility. You've got other running back possibilities across the country. So a tight end, a running back, three more offensive linemen, maybe an outside linebacker. I think if Domeo comes on board, there's a good possibility that they're done at the defensive back spot, cornerbacks and safeties. So, and then you got Jalen Lee at Live Oak, who we did a story on Tiger Bait that's still on the front page of Tiger Bait right now, defensive lineman, and the Jenkins kid from John Aird, who I absolutely loved at the LSU camp, who got an offer 2 weeks ago. He's still there, too. So, and might there be one or two kids that are currently on the commitment list that fall off, but when you go through all those numbers and you're just looking at that group of names there, this class is almost done. So I think now with, you got a camp tomorrow, lineman camp, 7-on-7, a bunch of 7-on-7 high school teams slinging it around tomorrow, and then you've got the camp next week, the 20th through the 22nd. The camp season's over. I think next week their focus is going to be the class of 2021 because 20, is really it's almost done.
How many scholarships can they give this year, Mike? I know it can be fluid, but how many can they?
Yeah,
give?
It'll be 25.
They'll have the full 25 this year. Okay.
Yeah, Mike, you can't. I'm sure if you add it up right now, it doesn't match. The numbers don't match. But as like we've seen all off season, the numbers always work out, and everybody's talking about who's in the transfer portal today and who's back in it and who's out, and the numbers always work out.
You know what? A couple of guys I want to ask you about, and you touched on Jenkins. I'm certainly intrigued by him. Jacqueline Roy from University Lab, Jacoby and Guillory is a guy. A couple of guys that LSU's had their sights on. Coy Moore from Rummel. And Brandon Williams from Newman. Any four of those players, what's your thoughts on those four handicapping?
Yeah, Brandon has been in the one to watch category, the linebacker from Newman. He'd gotten nicked up, and I'm anxious to see if he comes to camp next week. I'm sure I need to reach out to him. Really, really good football player. And Jaquel and Roy, obviously, arguably the number one player in the state of Louisiana for 20, was committed to LSU, pulled back, looked like A&M. People thought he was Alabama. Both of them have gone to Alabama. Roy's got an official visit to Texas A&M coming up. But I think very well, I have both Roy and Guillory in the probable category at LSU, and that's that's kind of why when we start saying, okay, what does LSU need to do to really make this class? You can have a top-ranked class or two or three in the country, and that's kind of been the case for LSU over the years. And I'm not picking on Ed Orgeron, but it's mostly under the Miles era. You can have a very highly ranked recruiting class depending on what network's rankings you look at the end of signing day. But those rankings never factor in, don't have a category factoring in what your team, your roster's needs are for that year. And LSU's always had high-ranked recruiting class, mostly based off athletes, defensive backs, receivers. It's the line positions, offensive and defensive line, where they've had multiple years where they've undersigned, or, you've had one too many guards on the offensive line or some projects that didn't pan out. And I think Orgeron and the staff have addressed that, which is why they're, going nationally. But, you have to go nationally on the offensive line because Louisiana's not producing them. And it's crazy because I'm looking at 21, the class of 21, there's only 8 scholarship offers extended for a class of 21 in Louisiana right now, and 4 of them are wide receivers. You got 2 defensive linemen, 4 wide receivers. Another, is that going to be typically, is this going to be an aberration? It used to be, you guys have been around for a while. That's what got LSU program into trouble in the late 80s and 90s. Mike Archer and those guys thought the grass was greener and were going out of state and looking for recruits and kind of ignoring Louisiana. And You know, it took LSU a decade to start clawing back and keeping Louisiana kids home, but you're looking at this commitment list for LSU, and there isn't an instance where I'm saying I'm looking at a commitment from out of state when 13 of 17 of them are from out of state and thinking that there's a corresponding Louisiana player that I think that they should have taken over the kid out of state. Is this just going to be an aberration for a few years? I don't know, but it's, you know, when you've only got eight offers out for 21 right now and four of them are receivers, again, not seeing any offensive linemen. We'll see if there's a quarterback that services. There isn't one there. You know, there's not a marquee running back that stands out right now. So this shift to recruiting nationally is a necessity, not just a desire.
That is the voice of Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com, talking LSU sports here on the Sports Hangover. Along with Renee Nato, I'm Mark Shafisi. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM.
It's the Bigger Things sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on Ram today. See all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
El Paso Mexican Grill in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and their cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with a live mariachi band. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
This is Golic and Wingo.
We love Freddie Kitchens, yeah. But let me just say, Freddie, don't try and walk back history here. You were very visibly and vocally ticked that he wasn't there, and I get why you would be.
Sure, every coach wants every player.
I get why you would be, but let's not pretend like you weren't. I mean, this is revisionist history here from Freddie Kitchens.
No, baby, what is you doing?
You were upset, and now you're not upset because he's there.
Every coach wants every player there at all times.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
And in for Gus, it is Renee Nato and Mark Shafisi. The numbers to call in, 800-998-1003, 800-998-1003, talking Tiger sports with Mike Scarborough of TigerBait.com. And, hey, Mike, if people want to access your service, how do they do that?
That's it. Go to TigerBait.com, $1. We give you a free trial period. We've had an incredible run of new subscribers in the last 3 weeks. Been absolutely loading the website up every day with recruit information and features. And the platform is second to none. So TigerBait.com, if you're an LSU fan, give us a try. You'll love the site.
Mike, before we go back to football, your thoughts on Will Wade. I heard his press conference a week or two back, and really not a lot of satisfying answers about the the transcripts of the phone calls. Is he long for Baton Rouge? What's going on with that, you think?
You know, I just wonder what needs to transpire for him to be the Will Wade that we've all seen since he first arrived at LSU. Ever since that indefinite suspension, I mean, look, I know that there's he wanted to have three guys in this recruiting class in the spring. He got one in Wofford, a biggie, but I mean, there's a couple other kids that he'd like to fill out the class, and he had them. Then he got indefinitely suspended and wasn't able to finish off the year like he wanted. Of course, he got all those guys who declared for the NBA to come back. I know he feels that they've got a good chance at having a top 15 or top 20 team again next year with what he'll have coming back. But now we're going forward recruiting. The negative recruiting is just off the charts because opposing schools are able to, say, hey, you've got that cloud of uncertainty. Is the NCAA going to come? Is there going to be an investigation? And it's not like the NCAA, sends a letter and says, by the way, we're content with what we've seen. We're not going to be investigating that, or we're not, you just sit there and wait and wait and wait. And if it never comes, it never comes. In the meantime, you're having a hard time recruiting. So, I don't know how do you navigate that? And I know he's a hard worker, and him and his staff are really doing a job. But it's how much time do you spend with a recruit and their family as soon as you walk in the door? Because that's one of the first questions that they're going to bring up. So we'll see.
Mike.
Woodward is obviously paying attention and is saying they're saying the right things, but I know a lot of people, the LSU fan base absolutely hope that weathers the storm, and because the amount of excitement in that PMAC last season, it's kind of what anybody who experienced LSU basketball in the late 70s and the 80s always thought it could be, and you got a taste of it, and you hope that doesn't go away.
Mike, I've known you for a long time, and no one does it like you, TigerBait.com. A conversation you and I had on the phone the other day, and I'd like you to kind of expound on it a little bit, something that Louisiana has not produced in quite some time, are quarterbacks. And, T.J. Finley is a homegrown, and he's headed to LSU. Jamie Howard's son is a possible quarterback for LSU in the future. Talk a little bit about how that has evolved. Louisiana is now beginning to maybe produce top-quality quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, look, certainly Finley is about to head off to the Elite 11, and he's got a nice ranking. But, as far as that national top 100, that five-star quarterback, you haven't had – the last guy that was that was Ryan Perilou in the class of 2005. Of course, we know what Dak Prescott ended up being, but Dak Prescott was a three-star. We came to LSU camp, and Croton and Miles were wondering if he was an H-back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as that national caliber guy that everybody in the country wanted at a quarterback spot from Louisiana, you got to go back to 05, and that's about to change. Certainly you got Holstein, the senior at STM right now, that's got some D1 offers. 21, I think someone will materialize. I don't know who that guy's going to be. But 22, you've got Walker Howard, Jamie Howard's son, who got offered by Jimbo Fisher at camp 2 days ago. Nick Saban offered him the week before. He'll be at the LSU camp next week. He's at Mississippi State right now. He'll be at Notre Dame on Sunday. And then right behind him on that same STM roster is a ninth grader coming in, Eli Holstein. And he's going to be another good one. And that same 23 year, you've got Arch Manning, the son of Cooper Manning, that everybody's going to be keeping an eye on. So, what is it? Is it the RPO offenses, or – I think that probably has something to do with it. A lot of one-on-one instruction and kids getting specialized early. We're about to see a run of quarterbacks in Louisiana that we hadn't seen in a while.
If you, I talked a little bit about that with you before earlier, and you mentioned Ashad Clayton Johnson now out of Warren Easton as a running back prospect. What are the likelihood possibilities of Kendall Milton out of Clovis, California, and Zachary Evans, the number one prospect out of Houston? What's the possibility of, because you got to think LSU is going to land at least one running back in this class. What's the handicap on those guys, Mike?
Yeah, and I probably said it. I bet I said Clayton earlier, and it changed his name to Johnson a few weeks ago. Ashad was a lean LSU and was planning to commit the same weekend of the state championship games last December. And when Emory up to LSU, that changed his mind. They're still recruiting him. I'm anxious to see when he's going to show back up on campus for a visit. But Kendall Milton, his visit to LSU, of course, he's a five-star running back from California. His official visit to LSU last weekend was as good as it could be, I'm told. And got Georgia in there real strong and a bunch of other schools, but I'm told LSU likes where they sit right now coming out of that visit. Zach Evans, you know, that one is one that's kind of been a mystery. 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a lot of people in Texas would have said LSU, North Shore has always been a good school for LSU in the Houston area. But we'll see. A lot of it to me is really paying attention to where these kids go for visits. And not just official. Do they show up for unofficial visits? Are they hanging around the facility? Where are they going more often than not in hanging out? And he makes that difficult because I'm trying to remember the last time he was on the LSU campus.
A few minutes left with Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. Mike, what influence is Joe Brady going to have on the Tiger offense this fall?
I think a considerable amount. When you look at those receivers that are committed to LSU right now and the excitement of the current LSU wide receivers, and what all those kids are saying in player interviews, and plus what coach, they all are buying into Coach Ensminger. I think there's a lot of reason to be excited. If they can get that offensive line to play together as a group and come up with some solutions and so the offense can actually run, I think Joe Brady is just the enthusiasm alone. I mean, if you watch the sideline of the spring game, I mean, those receivers are absolutely ecstatic to have him coaching them. He's not much older than a lot of them at 28 years old, and I think that's a real big factor in how that group's going to come together. I can't wait to see how the receiving group works. But the LSU offense, and that's another factor in LSU's surge in recruiting. I haven't seen offensive players, particularly out of state, and quarterbacks be as interested in they are in LSU in years and years and years. Oftentimes you would go to an LSU camp in the summer and the quarterback group of who would show up to camp, you might have one or two. Now you've got a half a dozen, and kids coming from all over the country to come to the LSU campus. Who's who at that position and got, three of the best wide receivers. I mean, nobody's got a better wide receiver commitment list than LSU right now. And that's because these kids are going in to LSU for a visit, and they're sitting in the if they went to a practice, they saw it in person, and they're going into a film room, and they're walking them through what they're going to be doing next season, and these kids are excited because a lot of them, it's basically a more detailed and advanced version of what they're running in high school. LSU's going to RPO.
Last question, Mike, although he's not expected to play barring injury, is Miles Brennan making progress? Is he developing where he can be that guy a year from now?
Let's wait and see. I reached out to some of the signees, the incoming freshmen, because they become off limits once they get on campus. Peter Parrish, LSU's quarterback signee from Alabama, Central High School, Phoenix City. I mean, he wants to come in and push. And He says that offense that LSU's running is what he's been running for years, since middle school. So, you know, we still don't know who the definite number two quarterback is at LSU. We didn't see Miles Brennan last year. Got a great arm. He definitely put on muscle, and it looks like things are clicking. But I think Peter Parrish wants to push him. So, but either way, you got to have some game this season where one or both of those guys get some experience. You don't want to go into the 2020 year with your number two quarterback having very little experience playing in a real game.
Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Before we let you go, tell people how they can access your information and coverage of the LSU Tigers.
That's it. If you're an LSU fan, please go to tigerbait.com. Try a $1 subscription. We would absolutely love to have you. We think you'll enjoy the site. You'll get text alerts for breaking news. We got free newsletters. So go to tigerbait.com.
All right, Mike Scarborough, tigerbait.com. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, talk soon. Thanks.
I mean.
All right, that is Mike Scarborough, tigerbait.com. Coming up next, Mike Triplett, ESPN, talking black and gold. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Your old gas yard tools have met their match. Right now, the Home Depot has Father's Day savings on the Ego 56-volt cordless trimmer and blower combo kit. Just $249. It has the performance of gas without the hassle. It's two powerful tools powered by a 56-volt lithium-ion battery platform. And right now, it's at a price no one can match. Today is the day for doing with the Ego trimmer and blower combo. Just $249. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788, Donlin Construction.
The Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus and other tuition benefits to qualified candidates, including new recruits and those with prior military service. Already received your education or are currently in school? You may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. Learn more about the many benefits that come with serving part-time in the Army National Guard. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard and aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
And for Gus is Renee Nato. I'm Mark Shafisi. You're listening to the Sports Hangover. The numbers to dial in and talk Saints football, 800-998-1003. That's 800-998-1003. Back to the guest line. Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, covers the black and gold. And, hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
I thought I was going to be talking to Gus. What's going on?
No, Gus.
He's getting a pedicure.
Gus
he's getting
a pedicure on a beach with the Kardashians in Pensacola, so he's not here. Saints are bringing a new great Mike. Hey, Saints bringing a new wide receiver today. Rashad Matthews. Tell us about that. And they cut bait with LSU Tiger Treyvon Darrell.
Yeah, I think Rashad Matthews. I mean, a lot of times signings, the name is bigger than the opportunity, but I think he has a chance to make this team. You know, he'd have to be really impressive to step up all the way and be a starter and put up the kind of numbers he put up in Tennessee a couple years ago. But it wasn't that long ago that he was the team's number one receiver. And we know that they could use some experience on this team. Last year they could have really used a guy like him, obviously, when when Ted Ginn Jr. was hurt, and it was basically all Michael Thomas and all Alvin Kamara. But now you have Thomas, you have Ginn back, you have the addition of Jared Cook. Hopefully you're going to see some development from Traquan Smith and Keith Kirkwood, maybe Cameron Meredith, though him missing all of OTAs and minicamp makes him a roster long shot. So there's an opportunity here, but certainly obviously nothing guaranteed for a guy who was still on the street at this time of year.
Hey, Mike, Renee, how you doing? Thanks for coming aboard with us, man. Always great to spend some time. It's always special. I was talking to Dan Ruschauer after practice the other day. And if you will, Mike, you know, no one stays as closely as you do at practice and stuff. Give us a couple of names of guys in the offensive and maybe defensive lines who may be on the gray area right now, if you will, that might be names to keep an eye on.
Well, obviously, as you know, Renee, it's really hard to evaluate how we think those guys look in OTAs when they're wearing shorts and no pads and really not slamming up against each other at full speed and no one's allowed to sack the quarterback. But, you know, you can tell what the coaches tell you and you can see where they're using these guys. And the thing that has stood out to me as much as anything and surprised me was Carl Granderson, the undrafted rookie, spending a lot of OTAs and minicamp with the first-string defense. Now, Cameron Jordan had a light workload. Marcus Davenport early on in camp had a light workload. So a lot of times it was Granderson and Trey Hendrickson, and a lot of times they go by the depth chart that's in front of them, and they just say, you know, the second string, come up and play with the first string. But for Granderson to be playing that many snaps to the first team, and I asked a couple people about him, he obviously popped at rookie minicamp. They obviously liked what they saw from him. They spent a good bit of extra money to get him to sign after the draft. I find him very interesting, and I'm really curious to watch him when the pads come on. And then I'm trying to think, you know, I think we kind of know what to expect from everyone else on the starting units and the veterans, especially on the offensive line. But obviously we were curious how that center battle was going to play out. And I think the last four, maybe five practices that we saw, Eric McCoy was with the first string offense at center while Nick Easton was at guard in place of Larry Warford. So Eric McCoy is going to have every opportunity to win that starting center job.
You know, something that I didn't mention names, Mike, but when I was talking to Dan Ruschauer, the offensive line coach, he brought up Marshall Newhouse as a guy that he really likes a lot, and he brought up Cameron Tom and Will Clapp. I did not ask him specific players, but he brought up about Will Clapp and Cam Tom, how much he was impressed, and it was an enthusiasm in his voice as he described how much Cam Tom and Will Clapp, the progress they've made, and he was very intrigued by Marshall Newhouse. I guess that's some names, you know, that keep an eye on. Of course, Newhouse has been around 10 years now, but those names are kind of, to keep an eye on those guys.
Well, there's obviously an opportunity for Newhouse to slide right into that Jermon Bushrod role from last year where you have the experienced veteran who can be your backup at left tackle or right tackle. So he's got a great opportunity, I think, to make this team. That guard-center battle is suddenly deep. I mean, it's crazy to think after Max Unger retired that you've got too many guys there. But when they signed Nick Easton in free agency, already had Cameron Tom and Will Clapp on the roster from last year and then drafted Eric McCoy, I don't know if there's enough roster spots for all four of them. So, you know, they're competing for starting jobs and roster spots there. But obviously, as they like to say, it's a good problem to have.
That is the voice of Mike Triplett, the Saints reporter for ESPN.com. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Mike, among the players coming back from injury this year, Sheldon Rankins, Patrick Robinson. Robinson looks like he's ready now. What do you expect from him this year? And Sheldon Rankins, when do you expect him back? And what can the black and gold expect from him, I guess, toward the back end of the season?
Well, Patrick Robinson is back healthy and had interception in each of the last 2 days of minicamp, which is a great sign. But one thing that I really had taken for granted was that he'd step right back into that starting nickelback job. And all during OTAs and minicamp, we saw P.J. Williams playing nickelback with the starters. And, he was really good in that role about the second half of last season. You know, he took some bumps early, and really took a lot of bumps early in his career. But I think once he started playing nickelback consistently and really gaining some confidence, I think he kind of found his niche last year. That's going to be one of the most intriguing position battles, I think, in all of camp. And then you throw in the rookie Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's gotten a lot of good reviews early on, and he can play in the nickel. All of a sudden, that's one of probably the most fascinating position battle that they've got going right now. But again, depth at cornerback, they've shown year after year that it's good to have a lot of those guys in the fold. And then Sheldon Rankins, unfortunately, we haven't seen anything from him. He's not even running off to the side of practice with trainers or anything yet. So it sure feels like he might start the year on the PUP list and be a second half of the season addition. I think of Alex Okafor's timetable when he tore his Achilles last year. He was able to play a full season, but he tore his about 2 months earlier in the year, early November, whereas Rankins was early January. I can't imagine they're going to rush Rankins along and have him playing in September at this point.
Mike, is this team, you think, like, totally past what happened in the championship game with the playoffs? I mean, I know they're always the championship game. They're always going to live with them, but you expect to have any effect on preparation as they head into training camp?
No, I don't think, you know, I mean, I think what's tough is to get that close and start over back at 0-0. I mean, it takes a lot, you know, and we've seen the Super Bowl hangover, and I think that's a real thing. I don't know if you get a hangover from a loss, because obviously you're probably hungrier than ever, but they just did everything right last year. They got that number one seed. They won the close game. They stayed healthy. To have everything come together and to do that over the course of 6 long months, I mean, it really is like the analogy of pushing the rock all the way back up the hill after you were almost there. I think that's going to take a lot for them. I don't think they're going to throw their hands and give up because they lost last year, but I think it takes a lot of mental fortitude to be able to get that close and then start all the way over again and do it again. So I think they're going to be tested, but it sure helps having maybe the most talented roster from top to bottom in the NFL, certainly one of the top rosters. So on paper, you got to like their chances as much as anyone.
Tripp, I got to ask you a little bit. Joe Lombardi was with us earlier in the show, and he raved about how much they're impressed with Teddy Bridgewater, his cerebral approach, and they really feel like they're very confident in him moving forward if and when number 9 hangs him up. I'd like you to comment on Teddy Bridgewater, and also with Mark Ingram departing, Latavius Murray coming in, might be a different style. What do you see? What do you like in Latavius Murray? So those two players.
Yeah, why don't we just go through all the former Vikings on the roster?
Yeah. They're bringing Fran Tarkenton in next
Marcel,
week.
Yeah, talk about Marcel, but yeah, anyway, no.
Look, I like Bridgewater. I actually have a story that I wrote that's publishing tomorrow on Bridgewater. It's funny, I noticed him having a good practice, I think the very first day we were out there on OTAs, and thinking, oh, Bridgewater looks good today. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I've never watched Teddy Bridgewater practice with the Saints before, because he came so late in August last year, and, you know, we don't get to watch all their team drills during the season while they're game planning for opponents. So we've really gotten our first extended look at Teddy on the practice field. And I'm really impressed by what I see. I agree. Coaches and teammates are really impressed with him, and he's just such a polished pro. I think the best comparison I heard is he likes to go at it with the cornerbacks when he's playing scout team and talk a little trash and get really competitive. And I asked DJ Williams, have you ever seen that from a backup quarterback before? And he goes, yeah. So when Jameis Winston was a redshirt freshman at Florida State, he was like that with us. So, they know that they got a special guy waiting in the wings to really have 2 starting quarterbacks on this team. So, that's different for this team from years past. And then Latavius Murray, similar to the offensive and defensive line. I noticed him the very moment we walked onto the practice field. I noticed him and Jared Cook, because they're just so big and long and lean and, you know, physical and athletic looking. So he definitely looks the part. His track record is that he's great close to the goal line and in the end zone and CY with that big build of his. But until guys are out there trying to tackle him, it's going to be hard to make any predictions. Running backs always look great in the spring.
Mike, will this team miss Mark Ingram?
Yeah, well, I think this is the kind of offense that can absorb the loss of a player like Ingram. I think Kamara can be more of a number one, and Murray can be a really good number two, and they've got a great offensive line, and they've got a great game planner. So I think they'll be okay without him. But I don't want to shortchange Ingram in any way, because he was way more than a number two. He was a co-number one here, and he was as good of a pass catcher and pass protector as he was a runner. And obviously he was beloved in the locker room with his energy and, his charisma and everything like that. So Very, very hard guy to replace. But luckily, this is an offense that's still in really good shape at the running back position.
Mike, Cam Jordan just got an extension. Do you expect one from Michael Thomas before training camp starts?
I don't know if we'll see it before training camp starts or not, because the numbers we're talking about are going to be astronomical. I think he's absolutely going to get a second contract with the Saints at some point. They value him that way, even though they haven't always decided to spend that kind of money on, skill position players, Jimmy Graham, Brandon Cook. They traded, in the past, obviously. But I think he'll get that second contract with the Saints. I think it's complicated, though, because we're talking about a guy who might cost $20 million or close to it per year. I don't know how easy it'll be to negotiate that contract, but I think he'll want to stay here, and I know they're going to want to keep it.
Yeah, well, coming into the dog days of sports, you as an NFL Nation reporter, do you get to take a little time off like the Saints do? Or how does that work for you, when you get in this period between the end of off-season work and training camp, Mike?
Yeah, this is the best month of the year for NFL writers. I mean, it's the month where Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis take vacation. For writers and front office and transactions and stuff, as you know, it's still pretty heavy in January and February and March and April with free agency and the draft and then these mini camps and OTAs. But this is when the league really shuts down for about 5 weeks before the start of training camp. So I'll still have some stories and a couple projects that I'm working on, but there is some good downtime and family time coming up too.
You know, Mike, I don't know if you came up with your bubble guys, but one guy who came in with a expected a big splash and it didn't occur is Cam Meredith. Is he going to have to make a big impact early in training camp to stick around here?
Well, he's got a little tongue, and people can be ruthless on Twitter. I actually talked to him the other day, and it is the same knee that he's still been being cautious with and taking his time with, because he said he doesn't want another situation where he pushes and ends up only playing six games this year. But they're like, oh, cut him, get rid of him. You know, terrible. It's like he just got here 1 year ago. But I think it's 11 p.m., if not 11:30 on his clock right now. He is going to have a healthy training camp, and he's going to have to outshine all those other receivers we talked about at the beginning of this conversation to earn a roster spot. But he does have that time. He already took a pay cut. They don't need to cut him for salary cap reasons. He's going to get that full, 6 weeks of training camp, 4 preseason games to try and look like the receiver that, they hoped he could be when they signed him. I don't think they can wait any longer. If he doesn't show it in the preseason, then I think it's going to be hard for him to stay on the team.
So much concern about Andres Pete with his contract year following this, but I don't know how much interest Andres Pete would draw on the open market. I mean, is there a possibility? It'd be interesting to see if perhaps they can re-sign him at a more friendly contract for the New Orleans Saints. Don't know how much Andres Pete would bring on the open market.
I feel like he'll get a lot on the open market because free agents always get a lot on the open market. I mean, you take what a guy's worth and you add 15% with all the salary cap space that teams have around the league. And he's a Pro Bowler now after he went as an All-Pro last year. I think he's really earned a good reputation, especially being a guy who can play left guard and left tackle. That versatility is so valuable. I wonder if he's going to be a guy that becomes a casualty if they let him hit the open market. He could be a guy that makes $10 million a year in this day and age with guards getting paid like they are now.
Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. Mike, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. You have a good weekend.
All right. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans, a sports hangover.
What would happen to your business if critical files were deleted? Would your company be able to recover if struck by a disaster, a virus, or even a power outage? With our local ETEL Business Data Center's backup and recovery services, your data is safe under any condition. Our 24-hour monitoring and redundant power keeps your systems and data protected in the safest place possible. Get a quote at eatelbusiness.com.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Wrapping up a Friday edition of the Sports Hangover. In for Gus Kattengill along with Renee Nato. I'm Mark Shafisi. Coming up next after further review with Matt Moscona. Well, for all the football programs, Renee, all the hay's in the barn. You've gotten rid of players, you've brought in players, you've got installed offensive and defenses for new players, for new coaches, and you know, for down here in the greater New Orleans area, reason to be optimistic with all three of the major programs. Tulane's looking up, coming off of a bowl game. It looks like Ogeron's got the Tigers on the right track. Recruiting is at a sky high level, and the Saints are there among the best of all the teams in the NFL, and they should have been playing the Patriots last year in the Super Bowl. But reasons for black and gold, purple and gold, and Greenway fans would be nothing but optimistic.
Well, the thing is, too, people ask me all the time and ask all of us in the media, what are you doing? Football season's here. I said football season is always here. There's different levels. There's the season. There's signing date in high school. There's a draft. There's OTAs, mini camp, spring practice. The only time there's no football is the next 5 weeks of the year right now. But football never goes away. It's different levels, different stages. Very, very lucky to do what we do and get paid to do what we do. And Pelicans, big, big week for the New Orleans Pelicans. The future, you'll find out what the future looks like in just a few days.
No question about that. Draft coming up, and, you know, what is David Griffin going to do? What is he? Well, we know what he's going to do. What is he going to get for Anthony Davis? We know you know, he's on the block, and I'm sure he's measuring offers right now, seeing which one he likes and tweaking them up until draft day, whether that's going to happen right before the draft or right after. I'm guessing right before, but that'll be the next big shoe to drop, probably a size 12, you know, Air Jordan to drop when Anthony Davis gets shipped out. Renee Nato, thank you so much, Guy. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's always special, Mark.
Jordan Kleber, thank you. Joey, thank you. Gus, thank you for letting us sit in. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend.